Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 670. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty, is laying behind me on the couch. Just chilling and grilling. It's a Saturday night as I'm recording this. I've been changing it up on which days I record. I thought about recording tomorrow morning because it looks like I guess I have to stop in the bars. I didn't really want to, but, you know, there was a bunch of guys at work wanting to hit up the bars. I live a couple blocks, essentially, from it. Less than a mile. I'm like, fuck, all right. At least it's in town. I've been working all week. Well, that's not true. I was going to say I worked 6 days, but no, I didn't, because I called into work Tuesday to go to a funeral. Jefferson Barracks. That's first funeral I guess I've been to in a while. I think that's the fifth one I've been to at Jefferson Barracks. As I don't know, do you get a punch card? Well, the funeral itself wasn't at Jefferson Barracks. That was just where they buried Sandy. That is my mother's aunt. I don't know what that makes relation to me. Was that like a great aunt? I don't know what to... Let's see what Google has to say about that. My mother's aunt is my... Let's see. Great aunt. Yeah, okay. Or grand aunt. Well, that's according to AI. That doesn't mean shit. why is it the only answers now is all fucking AI? She was 85. I'm not sure what... I didn't really know a whole lot of the... I know that she was, I believe, an assisted living facility. I only met the woman once in my life, so it wasn't really devastating me. I mean, no funerals happy. You know, I wasn't... I'm just saying that I'm not upset at the moment because, well, you know, yeah. My mother loved her, though, you know. And so I took her to the funeral. I didn't know that I was going to go to the funeral basically until like a few, like the night before. And so, yeah, I ended up calling into work. And yeah, man, there is a lot of funerals there at Jefferson Barracks. Like, after they had the service for Sandy there, which was only a few minutes, like, the cutest funeral home is where they had, like, the main service, I guess. And then also the visitation the night before. And then at Jefferson Barracks, where she's buried, like, it was just... I mean, it was a couple of minutes. They just said, like, a few things there at the cemetery there. And basically it was like, hey, we got another one coming through, so you guys are going to have to leave. Get the fuck out. I mean, it was nicer than that. But, you know. Apparently, according to the internet, a great aunt would be the... yeah, I don't know a lot about the woman. I mean, she was nice when I met her, of course. And that is a little weird going to a funeral that of someone like you kind of know but don't know, you know? You know, you don't know? Well, a little awkward. yeah, that is, I want to say, the fifth time that I've been to that funeral home. And I think all the time. No, not every time were they built. I've been to that funeral home 5 times. I haven't been to Jefferson Barracks. I've only been there like 3 times. I don't have quite the punch card there. But anyway, That was neither here. I wasn't even really going to talk about the funeral. I don't know why. It just occurred to me. I was like, I was going to say I worked like 6 days a week. I was like, no, that's a lie. I did use some sick time. Anyway. I digress. Yeah. I guess I'm going to the bar later. I don't plan on getting trashed. We'll see what happens. But, you know, thankfully I live really close to the said establishments that they shall be drinking at. As Agent Fox Mulder is, maybe he wants to go to the bar. I'm not sure what. You want to go to the bar? That's a yeah? I don't think you should be drinking, man. You're already missing one leg. I mean, shit could get crazy and out of hand if you get drunk, dude. Could fall, hurt another leg. Oh, yeah? You want to see, you want to see if there's any ladies out? Is that what you're doing? You're on the prowl, Agent Fox Mulder? Come here, dude. Anyway, I was going to talk last week, and it totally slipped my mind about this being an end of an era, as before I started recording this podcast, which was 2012, that was when this thing took off the ground, if you will. Our maiden voyage, which was actually St. Paddy's Day of 2012, when we recorded the first one, didn't actually put it out until, I think, April 20th, which is, you know, a smoker, you know, the potheads, you know, holiday, and also Hitler's birthday. A lot of dark shit happened on that day. You know, one of the most vile, disgusting human beings was born. I think that was when Kosovo was being bombed to shit. Also, like, the day that Columbine happened. There's a lot of just bad shit. Anyway. I was going to talk about, again, yeah, before this podcast, before I started, one of the early podcasts that I was into and still listen to at least twice weekly. I mean, if you're listening to this, you're probably aware of it, but WTF with Marc Maron. What the fuck with Marc Maron? I mean, that thing is, I mean, it's the greatest podcast out there. And especially if you, I mean, if you're into, you know, comedy, you get a lot of comedians. Well, I mean, Maron has, you know, comedians, actors, actresses, politicians sometimes, very rarely politicians, but I mean, he did have President Obama famously in his garage while Obama was president, and there were snipers like on the houses across the street, which that had to be pretty insane. And I mean, shit, man, he's had, when I started listening to him, it was great just hearing all the behind the scenes as far as like comedy is concerned, and he, you know, he had all the fucking greats on. A lot of them have passed away now. Probably my favorite, I would say, is the Robin Williams interview he did, which I don't think was too terribly long before he passed, maybe a year or two before Robin died, but it's a long time ago. I don't really remember, but there's a great story in it where Robin Williams is talking about filming the movie Awakenings, which I love that movie. But anyway, yeah, I'm getting messages about going to the bar later. But there was Robin Williams. They were filming Awakenings with, of course, I'm trying to text and talk about something else. It's really fucking with my brain. That is a difficult task to try to text about one subject and then talk about another one at the same time. Apparently not a thing that I'm very good at multitasking with. But yeah, Awakenings, which, I mean, if you haven't seen it, I mean, it's a classic movie, I suggest. I would suggest checking it out because apparently it's based on the true story. I don't know how true of a story it is. Again, yeah, I mean, it's basically a story about a bunch of people in comas that they find a drug, like Robin Williams plays a doctor that is researching these coma patients, and they're giving them this drug that gets them out of the coma, and they come to, and they have you know, I mean, and a lot of them have been out for years and what have you. And it's a really good movie. It's a serious movie. It's one of which, you know, Robin Williams did plenty of serious movies, but that one is one of the good ones. And of course, Robert De Niro's in there. Who's playing one of the patients, and he was, if I remember, this has been years since I watched the movie, but I should probably watch it again. I mean, it's a good one. It's a good one. It was a sad movie. But Robin Williams is one of the patients, and I think he was a kid when he goes into the coma, and of course he's, you know, I guess Bob De Niro was probably, you know, like in his 40s at the time of making this movie, 30s or 40s. I would probably venture to guess like 40s, and you know, he comes to and he realizes like he's lost so much of his life. He's like, what the fuck, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. He's what the fuck. Anyway, Robin Williams' story on WTF, which I love so much, is like my favorite moment of WTF, is I'm gonna totally ruin the story, but I mean, you could just go, it is much better to hear Robin Williams tell the story. But Robert De Niro famously has a thing for he's got a little bit of the jungle fever. He likes the black ladies, and he likes the chocolate, and it's very well known, I guess you'd say. And while they're filming this scene, being Robin Williams, of course, and Bob De Niro, and they're in this car. And they have to, every time they screw up a shot, they have to drive again back to the spot. And there's normal people outside, not just, it's not like on a film set. They're, I guess, filming on a regular street. And some like homeless guy, if I remember correctly. It's been years since I heard the story, but happens to see that Robert De Niro is sitting in the car. And he just yells out, "Hey, Bobby, you still like a black pussy." And yeah, again, it sounds way better coming out of Robin Williams' mouth than mine. But much Robin Williams, just so much a better storyteller. But hearing him tell that story is fantastic. But I mean, WTF, there's over 1600 episodes, and 1653 is the most recent. So, I mean, that's a lot of fucking hours. Each one's like at least an hour long. And, I mean, it's worth a listen. But the point I was getting to, end of an era, because Marc Maron will no longer be doing WTF anymore. Him and his producer have decided to call it a day. Or a year? I don't know. You consider that? 1600 and... What, there you are. I mean, it's not immediately. There's going to be more WTFs. Fox, calm down, buddy. Calm down. Meh. Anyway, they've decided they're done, and they're going to end sometime in the fall. I don't know if October. Maybe he's going to like call it right before Halloween so he can go out and... Fox, calm down, dude. Come here. He hasn't freaked out like this while doing a podcast in quite a while. He must know something's up. Of course, I did work today. And, you know, it's a Saturday. Throwing him all off his game. He's not happy about it. It's like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck are you doing? Anyway, yeah. That is... I'm going to have to... I mean, it's like a... Losing... That is like almost a funeral to me as well. I mean, it's not as sad as someone dying. Mark Maron's not dying that I'm aware of. But, you know, I'm used to having Mark Maron in my life. I've been listening to WTF since probably 2010. Like 2009 is when it started. I probably started late 2010-ish. I mean, I haven't listened to every episode, but as soon as I started listening, I've listened to every episode since, and I went back and listened to a lot of the early episodes, so there's probably only a handful that I haven't listened to. So I'm a longtime listener, and, you know, I get Maron's emails every week, which I think he's saying he is going to continue to do, like, just a weekly update, which is good, because, you know, he gives a big intro to all of his episodes and, you know, talks about his cats, you know. Which I can get behind that. I learn about Charlie and Sammy. And of course, you know, I'm as a longtime listener, I was there when Boomer was definitely alive. You know, he closes the show with Boomer Lives, Monkey, LaFonda, Cat Angels Everywhere, which is also, you know, other names of his cats that are no longer with us. Definitely, I mean, shit, man, it's so crazy. It's, you know, it's like I know Mark, but I've never, you know, I've never shook his hand. I went to one of his shows by myself. The only time I've ever went to a comedy show by myself was to see Mark Maron after listening to him for years on the podcast as, Agent Mulder's under my chair now. He's probably gonna start attacking me. But yeah, I mean, I know so much about him. And when I saw him at the Firebird in St. Louis, I didn't actually talk to him afterwards because I did have to work the next morning and, I wanted to just get out there. There was a line. I'm sure he would have been polite and everything. And, I'm sure like pretty much everybody there had listened to the podcast and were well acquainted with Mark. There was nothing going to be that special about me. But it would have been cool to, like, shake his hand and whatnot. But, Fox over here has not been this vocal in forever. What is it? What is going on, man? Is there a fire? Is Timmy stuck in the well? What is going on? Is there something outside that you must see? He keeps popping out. There must be something going on outside. He must see some animals or some people or... He's just very interested in what's going on out there. As I'm on a bit of a time crunch, I'm trying to knock this one out, and so I don't want to pause to see what what his deal is. I might have to eventually pause though with him freaking out just to calm him down a little bit. Anyway, yeah, Mark Maron, dude, it's, you know, I've been listening to him for over a decade. And, you know, I get at least two episodes a week. Sometimes, you know, throw a bonus one out there. Usually, like, if there's a bonus one, though, it's just an old one again, which I'll end up listening to. But it's after somebody passes, he puts up the old one again. Because I think it's only the 50 most recent episodes you can hear of WTF, like on your Apple Podcast or Spotify, what have you, to listen to all of them, you have to be a full Maron subscriber, which I am. But I don't even know what it's really even on anymore. I've been a full Maron subscriber since, you know, like 2010, which I pay like $5 every like 6 months or so. but And I just had to pause for a minute there just to give Fox there something to keep him busy. I opened up the blinds in the other room, and hopefully that, you know, keeps his interest for a minute or two. And if he's going to meow, it'd be in the other room, hopefully. But yeah, Marc Maron, it's crazy. I mean, I know so much about him from listening to his podcast, you know, about his cats, about his girlfriends. He's been with since over the course of WTF, over that time period, which is 16 years now, it's been going on. Like, he's had several girlfriends, and he was seeing the director, Lynn Shelton, during COVID, and she unfortunately had passed. And, you know, that was some tragic stuff. And that was, like, a time period where I wasn't listening to as many podcasts because I wasn't working as many hours. And that period of time, the thing was I wasn't running a whole lot at the time. And I was trying to learn programming. That was my big thing at that time. That didn't work out. Yeah, I wasn't listening to a whole lot of podcasts, mainly because I was just working on learning programming. But once I was like back to like working regularly, and especially once I had given up the dream of learning to code, and getting back out and running more, I started to get back into listening to podcasts, and which I'd still like listen to Maron a little bit, but I was a little behind. And so I didn't realize until like after it happened that Lynn had passed away, and like that was some emotional stuff. I can't speak right. Like her passing away, and it seemed like, you know, the two were really crazy about each other. And that was, I mean, there's so much that had happened in 16 years of, you know, Marc Maron's life. And, you know, you get to learn again, like all these backstories of, just really great people, you know, Josh Homme, Queens of the Stone Age. He was just on there for the second or third time recently, within the last couple of weeks, which they, the Queens of the Stone Age, just did, recorded a video, which I haven't watched. They did a concert. Fuck me. In the catacombs there in Paris, which I'd like to check that out. And they talked about that on the most recent WTF. And I mean, just so many other great interviews. The Gallagher one, which is from years ago. He's another famously passed on comic that was on WTF. And he got pissed at Maron. And I believe they were in a hotel room. And he just left. He's like, fuck you, I'm out of here. I'm done with this interview. It's a classic fucking interview. Very classic. But holy shit, if you're one of the few people that haven't listened to WTF, I mean, you're in for a treat because there's a fuck ton of them. There was a lot. You want in-depth interviews and just really, I mean, he's just a great interviewer. And of course, you know, if you might get wrapped up in learning about Mark's life, his cats and what have you. And of course, I mean, he's a stand-up comedian. I mean, I did see him, of course, the one time. And it was very enjoyable. And I've watched a few of his specials, which I guess I'm going to have to really get more into watching his stand-up now once WTF is out of the way, because I'm gonna be like, I got to know what Maron's up to. And how am I going to know about his cats? Of course, I follow him on the socials, on the old Instagram and what have you. But yeah, and he also, you know, he's a guitar player. He's much better at playing guitar than I am. I am a novice at the best on best days. I'm pretty bad. Anyway, for as long as I've been playing, I should be able to, you know, be able to tell you like which key I'm playing in and whatnot, and you know, be able to improvise. But that's not really, I'm not real great at that. And yeah, anyway, I was gonna try to segue there. Into, of course, there is the, I don't have a whole lot to say about this today, but they have, the, of course, the Back to the Future guitar played by Marty McFly that's in the, not final scene, but one of the most climactic scene, possibly, of Back to the Future, when Marty is disappearing, and he's playing that Gibson ES-345. As his hand starts to disappear, and then eventually his dad, played by Crispin Glover, gets back Leia Thompson. This other guy like steps in to like dance with her, and like that's when like Marty starts like disappearing and stuff, and then of course Crispin Glover grows a pair of nuts yet again. I mean, he's already punched Biff at this point. But they're playing Earth Angel and Marty's playing the ES-345. And then, of course, Biff is punched like right before, I guess, Marty starts playing Earth Angel, because the guitar player, Marvin Berry, not Chuck Berry, but Marvin, Chuck's cousin Marvin, is playing the guitar for the band, and he's the singer, and he fucks his hand up trying to get Marty out of the... trunk of the car, which he has been stuck in, and it's while he's stuck in that trunk, that's I believe when Biff gets decked by George McFly, played by one Crispin Glover, and then that of course leads to the scene of Marty playing the ES-345 with Mr. Michael J. Fox. And what I was going to say is, okay, so I established the last two episodes, you know, this whole thing. And, of course, playing Johnny B. Goode, that's like the most famous guitar scene out of any movie in movie history. It's the most famous guitar scene. Michael J. Fox playing Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode. Anyway, I've gotten some more details, not a whole lot. Gibson had released a video with Keith Morrison, True Crime Infamy, I guess. Keith Morrison's a very... I can't do a Keith Morrison voice. Bill Hader does. If you want to hear someone do a lot of impersonations of true crime people, like Bill Hader, he does like all the true crime peeps. But I know he does a Keith Morrison. And anyway, Keith Morrison did a short video of Gibson. I don't have it pulled up or anything at the moment. But in that video, Keith Morrison gets to the details of the missing of when the guitar, I guess, went missing. According to him, in that video, which I had talked about like last episode, like I don't, you know, I was curious about any, like I don't know any details, and apparently it went missing, I guess, during the filming of Back to the Future. That was the thing I didn't know about. I didn't know if it had been returned to Norm's Rare Guitars, did it get lost after the film? But apparently it was the film, like during the filming of that. Or I guess right after the filming of it, no one knows. And it's been rumored that it has been stolen, what have you. You know, I mean, this is... No one really knows. I mean, it just got lost. Lost in time. I mean, maybe it went in the DeLorean and it could just be back in time. Or it's not... Maybe it doesn't exist now. I mean, if it was in the DeLorean... I mean, it could be way in the future. We may never see that guitar again until like 100 years from now. Who knows what time they had the DeLorean set for. But that answered a lot of questions that I had like last week, as far as did they have any details to help find this mystery of like what happened to this Gibson, cherry red Gibson ES-345. And I mean, I was hoping that they'd have a little bit more details, but apparently, I mean, there is no real, that the kicker is just, you know, unfortunately, there's no, just no one knows. It's like the Queens of the Stone Age song, no one knows. I mean, shit, man, that was a historic guitar. Hopefully they do find it. I haven't gotten any, like, updates, other than hearing Keith Morrison. I'm sure if something happens, I mean, I'll probably, I'm sure I'll end up hearing about it at some point, somebody on Reverb had back to Marty McFly's other guitar. I don't know that that's necessarily his actual guitar, but I guess the one from the first scene when Marty goes into Doc's place when Doc's not home. And I'm going to assume that's what they're selling on Reverb. It's probably like a copy of that, which is just a shitty guitar. You don't want that one. You want the fucking ES-335. Or 345, my bad. The 345 is a little bit more souped up than the 335. yeah, and I did realize I was getting the emails from the director of the documentary, and I did realize his name is actually Doc. He is Doc Kratzer, which threw me off because when I was getting the emails, I just thought it meant like, it was part of the deal of, you know, just like saying it's like Doc Brown, but no, it's Doc Kratzer. Which fun fact, he's from St. Louis. He's a local guy. Born in St. Louis, Missouri. He is known for Roadhouse, the remake, which I enjoyed that film. I thought it was pretty good. Shotgun Wedding and Glee. I guess he did at least a few episodes of Glee. I guess he did some, or I guess more than just Glee. He did also some Sons of Anarchy. Well, as an editor, he was an editor on these things. I mean, he's, I've not edited on any major films. Oh, that would be a pretty sweet job. I'd love that job. That job would be pretty fucking tight. But yeah, local guy. And he's been working on finding Marty McFly's guitar. And I wish I had more news for him. But after making, you know, unintentionally, although I knew unintentionally making him listen to an episode of this. not intentionally, you know, because I did, of course, put the name of the title of the episode as Lost to the Future, which is what they're calling the, at least the website, is the search for the ES-345. That's really all I've got to say about the guitar situation. As of right now, I don't have another Gibson yet, but ES Supreme, that's supposed to come out, I think July 2nd is what it's saying on, yeah, July 2nd over on Sweetwater's website. So, you know, I'll see. Be seeing that at some point. I do have one reserved. Again, I didn't actually order it per se, just have it reserved for the possibility of me to pay for it. So I could still decide, no, let's not do this. Could still decide that. I gotta stop with the guitar things. But, you know, they're good investments. the Gibsons are, at least. Maybe not so much some of my other purchases. You know, like all the money I've spent on my downstairs turning that into a movie theater, which I'm still not, I still have not finished yet. I can't really resell my walls, you know, unless I resell like my whole place. And that would be a thing, you know, maybe that could help sell my place for, you know, more money. Possibly by, like, you know, finding somebody that really loves a movie theater. If I sell it as is with a screen painted on the wall and leave and have the projector in there. I mean, that could be, you know, maybe it would sell for more or not. That'd be a real bitch. You know, if I have to sell at some point and then I've got to turn around and then paint over all of that stuff that I went through and painted, which made me really fucking hate painting. Like, very strongly hate painting. Not that I was, like, a huge fan of doing it before. But, of course, I remember I talked about it on the podcast. When I painted the screen on the wall, I was like, you know what? Like, this isn't bad. Because I had thought about, like, when I was, like, 18, becoming, like, a union painter. You can make some all right money doing that. And of course, after I painted the screen was easy, you know, I just basically drew a big rectangle on the wall, did my measurements and like, got some painter's tape and made a fucking rectangle on the wall. And then I proceeded to paint that was easy. Again, I didn't have to paint in any, you know, spots where it overlapped with, like, the ceiling or what have you. There was no corners, nothing that was way easier to paint. That was super easy to paint and not bad. All the, you know, the bummer part is it took, like, 3 or 4 coats. I guess it was, like, 4 coats. I think I did 1 coat of primer and then, like 3 of the screen paint on there. It was, yeah. Once I started painting that ceiling, I decided, like, you know what? Fucking, I hate painting. I'm glad I never did it for a real job. Although, you know, you do it for a job, I would imagine I'd get pretty damn fast at it. And had I done it as a young man, it probably wouldn't have been that taxing on me, but as doing it as a 44-year-old that also works as a steel worker by day, I fucked my arms all up at work and then decided to roll paint on the ceiling above me, and that caused some issues there for a while. And I got to say, I have no desire to want to work as a painter now. That is, I'm still, like, not finishing it because I don't really want to do drywall. I already knew for a fact I hated doing drywall, that I'm not great at doing drywall. I've got a couple of spots I need drywall. I think I'm more leaning towards the fact that I'm just going to have to, pay somebody to, do the drywall. I don't really want to do that. But that being said, you know, it is still great having a movie theater downstairs. I've been really getting into watching all of Stranger Things again, and now on the big screen. Before it was always on my small little TV. Now I get Vecna just in all his glory, his burnt glory, on my big 150-inch projector screen, which is actually my wall. And it's great, man. I'm in the 4th season now. I've gotten to Vecna, which, you know, I've got to get ready because, of course, Stranger Things season 5 is coming out later this year, which I am very very excited for. I think it starts in November. I think they're, let's see how they're doing this. Here's when it's coming out. Yeah, just fuck off AI. All the answers are always AI. Don't, god damn it, fucking AI. Okay, Wikipedia, I trust that more. Even though that can be a little... All right, this is the release schedule for it. This season will consist of 8 episodes. It is set to be released in 3 parts, releasing on November 26th. So right at Thanksgiving, December 25th, Christmas, and December 31st, respectively. The season will be produced by the show's creators, the Duffer Brothers, along with Sean Levy and Dan Cohen. But yeah, I'm fucking excited for that. I love me some Vecna. And just how, I mean, that whole Stranger Things season 4, son of a bitch, is, it's just taken out of, obviously the Duffer Brothers were huge fans of Nightmare on Elm Street and one Freddy Krueger. And I enjoyed it very much. I mean, I am just a big fan of Nightmare on Elm Street. And seeing Robert Englund in Stranger Things was epic. I mean, he's a great actor. That's somebody else that, you know, has been in my life for forever, actually. Because I, as a very small child, I was introduced to Robert Englund. I watched, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street basically when it came out, which was like 1985 or whatever. I was like 4. And, I loved the TV, I guess you'd say, series. It wasn't like a regular television show. There wasn't that many episodes. But it was like, they did like made-for-TV movies as well, but they had V. Not V for Vendetta. This is before that. This is, of course, the aliens that were lizards, and they would hide the fact that they were lizards by wearing people suits, basically. They had, much like They Live with Roddy Piper, they were lizards and pretended to be human or appear human. And Robert Englund was the good alien in there. He was one of the good ones. And... which is so opposite of what, you know, I'm used to Robert Englund as, because, you know, Freddy Krueger. He's fucking Freddy Krueger. And I love fucking Freddy Krueger. I dressed up as Freddy every fucking Halloween when I was a kid. And sometimes as an adult. but, I mean, he was also in the show Soap, which was a show that ran from 1977 to 1981. So from the year my brother was born to the year I was born, that show was on the air. And both of us, actually, Shelley and I, both are big fans of Soap. And that's the theme song. Oh, just hearing that. We used to watch marathons of that all the time. Like back when I had cable and like there would be like Comedy Central or whatever. It was usually, I think, Comedy Central that would have it on because it's a comedy show, but like making fun of soap operas. And when it was on, it was like so exciting. Like Robert Englund was in like 1 or 2 episodes of that. He played a cult member. But, and of course, Robert Englund would go on to do like many, many horror films. But none would ever surpass Freddy in A Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, that's just goodness. Fuck that Jackie Earl Haley reboot one. I don't like that one. I need more Robert Englund, man. That's it's weird to love so much a character that is a child murderer and I presume a rapist. Like they don't really get into that. You know, in the original film series with Robert Englund, I don't know that they ever said that he raped them, which somehow that's better, right? You have a child murderer is somehow better than a child rapist, which the Jackie Earl Haley thing, I mean, it was more than I think inferred that he raped them. I think there was, and which, I mean, again, if, I mean, he's going to murder children. at that point, you're just an evil bastard. Like, what does it matter? If I mean, I guess it makes it worse. But somehow in my mind, I always worked it like, he's just murdering these kids. That's totally fine. But, you know, I was a kid when I got into it. It wasn't like I was rooting for Freddy, you know? It was, I don't know. It's weird. The psyche, the human psyche, it's a very strange thing. Anyway. Robert Englund was fantastic. And, of course, Stranger Things Season 4. Creel, he plays Creel. Jonathan Creel or something Creel, whatever it is. And he, of course, cuts his eyes out. And he's just, which, again, Robert Englund had to had to, you know, wear a lot of prosthetics over his eyes. And I'm just seeing on my phone, this is just not, you know, I hadn't talked about this at all. But unfortunately, this is fucked up. But, I mean, the U.S., I'm getting an alert on my phone. The U.S. has attacked 3 Iranian nuclear sites. So, you know, that's so not fucking cool, man. So we're at, I guess that makes it official. We are, I mean, before it was pretty much official with Israel striking Iran with our weapons, made it pretty much the real deal, Holyfield. But now it's official. We have attacked Iran, and that is fucking horrible. You know, I was an adult, of course, when 9/11 happened. I was 20 years old, and you know, so I remember full well the impact of 9/11 and people wanting vengeance and blood, and oh yeah, this is a turn I wasn't expecting to go today, but. You know, I remember the war in Afghanistan, how that definitely seemed justified. And then fucking 2 years later, President George W. Bush, led really by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, really like, you know what, we're going after Saddam. And really, Bibi Netanyahu really led that charge. That fucking scumbag. fucking war criminal. Who even back then, like back in, since the 90s, has called for war with Iran. And, you know, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, fucking Bush. They wanted to go, they had a plan. They wanted to, after they brought down Saddam, which they, again, I didn't think it would take, I thought there'd be a little bit longer time span, although I always thought that there was a good chance that Trump would attack Iran. I mean, he wanted to during the first administration. He assassinated their top general actually had planes in the air ready to bomb Iran. And then apparently Tucker Carlson talked him out of it and he called the planes back. But I guess he didn't listen to Tucker this time around. And we've officially bombed Iran, and I would imagine 90% of Americans now realize that going in to attack Saddam and taking his regime out was a horrible idea, and unjustified at that. I mean, not to say that Saddam wasn't a good person, you know, to say he was a good person. He was a horrible, awful fucking dictator. Did he deserve to die? Yeah, but that doesn't mean you destroy this country and then send it into further chaos and kill, you know, this, you know, ISIS came out of invading Iraq, and we weren't able to hold on. I mean, Iraq's just a fucking shit show. And I, whenever we first invaded Iraq, I had a friend, Carl, that was in the Army National Guard, or not the National Guard, sorry, the Army, the Reserves. He was in the Reserves. He got called up and had to go to fight over there as soon as we invaded Iraq. And, you know, so it was very personal to me. And I was, you know, I was at the age I was fucking freaking out. You know, the draft would come back and I'd have to fight. And I did not want to go fight in a war, especially a war I did not feel was just. It'd be one thing to Afghanistan. Not that I wanted to go fight in Afghanistan, but at least, you know, we were fighting. At least a lot of them that we were fighting over there were involved in, at least in somewhat, either aiding Al-Qaeda or, you know, helping in the planning of 9/11 or what have you. Or, you know, I was never for the Iraq War. And I knew it was bullshit. Of course, I was reading a lot about, and they were, you know, there was all the neocons back then were very upfront with their plans. They wanted to roll through Iraq, Syria. I mean, there was a whole list of countries, and like the big prize was they wanted Iran. And they've been trying to get this war for decades now. And it's fucking horrible. You got a country of, was it 92, 2 million people-ish? Iraq, I think currently, I looked it up the other day, has got 40 million people. So over double the population of Iraq. You know, Iraq didn't work out. It was a bad idea. Bad fucking idea. It fucked all kinds of shit up. Iraq didn't have the shit that Iran has. It did not have the weapons. It did not have the size of military that Iran has. And it's also four times the size of Iraq as far as, you know, the actual land itself. I mean, it is a massive fucking country. The shit show we just fucking unleashed is, I mean, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really, really fucking bad. And, yeah. I don't know what to say about it, man. It's just not fucking cool times to be living in. Not a great time to be an American. As we just started another war that will probably, you know, I mean, nothing good is going to come of this. Not a one good fucking thing. And here we are. Here we are. And fuck, man. That is, before when it was just Israel doing, I thought, you know, maybe there might be a fucking out somehow that, we could, that just, you know, having basically another proxy war, like, you know, we're arming Ukraine and what have you, which I think is a just war because fucking Putin invaded them. You know, whether it's Bibi Netanyahu or it's George W. Bush or basically any Republican in the last, what is it? I don't know. Since what's 1979 when the Iranian Revolution happened and the Ayatollah took over. I think that's roughly it. Basically since then, they've been like, Iran's going to have nukes in months. They've been saying it since back then. And you know what? They still don't have fucking nukes. And it's a crock of shit. Just like it was a crock of shit to go in to invade Iraq. And yeah, here we are again. As I'm trying to, you know, I don't know how to really segue out of that and like a bright, you know, sunshiny, happy things. This is not generally what I like to talk about, but it is, there's going to be a lot of people that die over this. And, I mean, life's going to get hard for us in general. I mean, gas prices are going to go through the roof. Iran's probably going to attack, probably do missile strikes on the oil fields over in Saudi Arabia because they know that is how you hurt American civilians on the mainland because they can't attack us. They have no way to physically attack Americans on American soil here in the mainland, if you will. So they're going to make us hurt financially. They are going to attack oil fields. I mean, they'll attack America. Now they have the green light since America has now bombed, officially bombed their country. They can attack American servicemen abroad. Shit, man, it's fuck. I mean, we were already most likely going to have a recession by the end of the year. Now gas prices are going to, oh, fuck, man. Gas, everything, fuck. Tariffs were a pain in the ass enough, you know? We didn't need all this shit. Fuck, man. Maybe it was one of those tweets he's saying. I mean, I'm reading it from several news agencies. Like, we bombed them. There's no, like, oh, no, it was Israel. We were just kidding. We didn't have anything to do. Oh, stealth bombers did it. Fuck, man. Fuck. I mean, this is just not good. This is not good. And, you know, I mean, Iran's got other big allies. You know, they're allies with China. They are allies with Pakistan, who said that I don't know. I was kind of in the mix of things that I was reading or watching about the other day. I'm not sure if they actually said that they would bomb Israel if they used a tactical nuke on Iran. That is a big thing. I don't know what kind of bombs. If these were, I mean, it could be potential. We could have used tactical nukes. Fuck, man. I mean, this is not good for the world. I don't think this will probably lead to World War III, but this is going to lead to a war that will last for years. And it's going to make us all very fucking poor. The price of everything is going to rise through the fucking roof. Not to mention just the toll of human life. The death toll, what have you. But yeah, they've got, you know, fuck. They've got their allies with people that also have nukes, you know, that have nukes. I mean, they've got... this is just... fucking shit. Oh, they used a bunker buster. A 30,000-pound bunker buster. I don't know that that's... I don't think that's considered a tactical nuke, but... Like, this is just... It's just so dumb. Because the excuse they use is to... So they'll never get the bomb. They were aware that Trump had already threatened to bomb them and that Israel was trying to take out those sites. It's a good chance they probably moved a lot of that shit anyway. And they weren't close to building a bomb, regardless of what the fuck they said. and we're not close to creating nukes. But now they have no choice but to get their hands on some fucking nukes, because the only way that... to avoid being attacked anymore is get their hands on nukes. So, you know, call up Putin, call up fucking, you know, one of their other allies. Fucking, I don't know, Xi Jinping, but maybe Pakistan would give supply Iran with nukes. I mean, obviously, I mean, it does appear that, you know, Trump and the Republican Party, as well as Bibi Netanyahu and the Israeli forces, just want to take out the Iranian regime. And that won't lead to an end to this war. But when, you know, their lives are at risk and just their power and what have you, I mean, they're not going to sit idly by and just like, oh, okay. Well, now we can negotiate now that you've attacked us. You've bombed us. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Can't kill a bunch of people and be like, all right, now let's start debate. Now let's negotiate. Before you do anything to us, let's let's just go to the let's negotiate, shall we? Holy fuck, man. Ugh. But hey, I still got a movie theater downstairs. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to afford this place, but oh fuck. Hopefully Germany doesn't go to war anytime soon, because, you know, I am going there in a few months, so that's, I guess, some maybe for good. Maybe I won't be able to come back after that. We'll see. Maybe I won't be allowed to be back. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. I mean, this is it is just like fucking 2003. Where it's exactly like going to war with Iraq then. Except for the problem is this is a way worse war to get into. Way worse. But yeah, I'm definitely going to go to the bar tonight. We'll be going here shortly. Oh, that definitely changed my outlook for the night. Fuck, man. Hopefully, I don't know what to wish for with that, you know? I don't see how this isn't going to, I mean, I guess it's possible that this doesn't end up in a massive war. It seems pretty much unlikely at this point. I don't see what choice Iran has than to not put up a fight. Not that I'm pro-Iran. At least the fucking, you know, the people that run the country over there. But there's 92 or 93 million people, whatever it is. There's a lot of people, and there a lot of them aren't fans of that government. It's, you know, like if somebody attacked here, there's a lot of people that don't give a shit about Trump. And, you know, if they're attacking us because of that, fuck. There's a lot of people that are going to die that fucking don't really have any skin in the game, you know? But yeah, I guess I'm done for the night. Hopefully next week I'll have more bright, cheery things to say. You know, I managed to not talk about Iran until I got that fucking update. And then, Iraq 2.0. This one's going to be way more bloody. I would assume it's going to be way more bloody. I wonder, is Trump going to fly a plane onto a fucking aircraft carrier and put up a mission accomplished banner? I'd rather pay to see that Trump try to fly a jet plane. George W. Bush is a fucking war criminal and just a horrible human being, but at least, you know, he could fly a plane. I mean, the guy never really had to work for much in his life, but I mean, he was Air National Guard. I don't remember what exactly he served in, but like, he, you know, did some kind of service for the country. Horrible human being and a fucking war criminal. Haig should have, you know, should put his ass on trial. Anyway. Yeah, I got to wrap this up. Hopefully things aren't as bleak as I you know, think they're going to be, and fucking horrible. You know, try to enjoy life and have a little fun. You never know when it might all end. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.